Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, my next guest has written an opinion piece on the news platform Mercury.net on really what's, I think, probably definitely going to go down as one of the biggest stories of the year, the storming of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. But he says that it actually highlights what's wrong with the political system and American democracy for a number of years. On the line to tell us a little bit more about this particular school of thought, we've David Thunder, who's political philosophy researcher and lecturer at the University of Navarra's Institute for Culture and Society in Spain. David, thanks for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Wendy. Good to be here.
So why did you decide to write this article after you saw what happened in terms of the storming of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.?
Naturally, I was concerned and saddened to see that American democracy is in such a bad state. But also watching some of the coverage of that storming of the Capitol in American media, such as CNN, but also European media, I noticed that the coverage, the analysis was quite superficial because they focused basically on who did this and what connection did it have to Trump. That was kind of the question that was in their mind. Whereas I see this as part of a larger process of erosion of the legitimacy of American public institutions that has been going on since the 1960s. And just to take one example, a piece of evidence for that, national surveys in the United States show that in 1964, 77% of American respondents affirmed that they trust the government in Washington always or most of the time. That percentage, 77% of trust, dropped in 2019. It dropped down to 17%. That's an enormous drop in trust.
It's a huge drop in trust, David, but is it an excuse for actually what happened just in terms of the how these people ended up in this building and the violence that ensued as well?
Well, I don't believe that you can excuse that sort of violence, and I do see it as a defiling of the symbols of democracy. But I think that it's one thing to excuse something, it's another thing to understand and contextualize it, to understand how it came about and what it actually is symptomatic of. It's not something you can fix by just changing the president. It's indicative of the fragility of American democracy at this moment. It would have been unthinkable in 1964, say. I think it would have been unthinkable for a bunch of supporters of one president to assault the Capitol. And now look what's happening. They have assaulted the Capitol. And they have stormed the Capitol. And I think that basically it suggests that that there is a declining sense of legitimacy. 25% of Americans, according to different polls, actually believe that the election was stolen. They believe Trump, even though I believe the evidence suggests the election was not stolen. But I think that's very worrying that a quarter of voters, of American voters, would believe that.
One of the things, though, David, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, is obviously we're talking about, when you think of the 70 million or so that voted for Donald Trump, this was obviously a very small percentage of that. Was it an extreme minority, or is it representative of a wider troubling discord in America, do you think?
I do believe that it was an extreme minority. However, it's also true that it's too easy to just say it was the work of extremists and then just sort of move on. In reality, it's a bit like a disease. You know, when you see that someone has a high fever, you have to ask yourself the question, what is going on in the body? What is the pathology? What is the disease that is at work? And I believe that this was a symptom of a larger process of disenchantment with the political process in America. A lot of voters voted for Trump as a protest against the mainstream politics and against Washington, D.C., and those voters remain out there. And I think that by CNN and other news outlets that dismiss those voters or that sort of pretend that this is just a matter of a few extremists, I think are not doing any favors to democracy, because those voters who voted for Trump and who feel disenchanted with American democracy will have to be reintegrated into that democratic process, because if they're not, then there is a danger that America could split. And it could actually, the United States could fall apart. in coming generations.
But you would imagine, David, that many of those who voted for Trump saw it as an affront to democracy, what happened in terms of storming the Capitol as well. But there hasn't been, or one could argue, that there hasn't been an attempt, as you say, for the mainstream media to understand this disconnect between, you know, those who perhaps voted for President Trump and the mainstream media, who don't really try to make an effort to understand the why behind this disenfranchisement.
Exactly. I think that Trump's election was a wake-up call, and there was a moment in which the media, in which journalists did seem to admit that they had gotten it wrong, that they did not understand the American electorate, and that they should listen more to Trump, to the kind of people who voted for Trump, to understand their concerns. But I think that in the face of this this storming of the Capitol, this crisis, they've retreated to their traditional position, which is that Basically, that there's a mainstream position that is basically broadly a liberal position, and then there are extremists who would do this sort of thing. But they forget about the middle, let's call it Trump's more middle ground voters, who are not extremists, but many of whom would identify with Christian values, with traditional family values, and basically feel very excluded from American media and public discourse and the political process. What to do about them? That's the question. What to do about them? What you can't do is ignore them, because if you just keep ignoring them, then they will feel increasingly, alienated from the political process, and the Congress will no longer be representing them.
David, in your article, you say only time will tell if these rifts in the American nation will somehow heal or fulfill Abraham Lincoln's somber warning that a house divided against itself cannot stand. What are your main concerns and I suppose the backdrop to writing that particular part of the piece?
Well, I do have concerns about the general direction of American democracy. I would say that in the last, certainly since the founding, it was originally conceived that the nationals, let's say the American nation, the federal nation, would only occupy itself with certain aspects of public order, whereas the majority of governance would be carried out at the state levels. So it was a federal vision. But gradually over time, the national government has taken upon itself more and more functions, and the National Supreme Court as well has basically become increasingly activist in a whole lot of moral and social issues. And I think that when you give all those powers to a national government in a complex and diverse society such as the United States, you run the risk of delegitimating the government, because it starts to make decisions that a lot of citizens simply don't accept as legitimate. So I think unless the U.S. government scales back its powers and this ideological war, if you want, I think what's going to happen is that, yes, it is likely that the United States will come apart. And what would that mean? I think that basically would mean that certain states would begin to secede and that we would no longer have a United States. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think it could happen in a few generations.
How do you feel about Biden's inauguration later on this week?
Well, I don't think Biden's inauguration is going to change much of anything. Obviously, in the short term, certainly certain public policies will change. But I guess I tend to see, as a philosopher, as a social observer, I tend to see these things in the long term. And for me, a change in the identity of the president is not going to fix the longer term issue of disenchantment with American politics and the defection of a large number of citizens from the political process. That issue is going to get bigger and bigger over time, and Biden is not going to heal that rift, I don't think. I don't see any signs that he's going to heal that rift. So I guess the only answer I see for that problem is for a devolution of powers to local and state governments, so that many of these issues can be solved at the local level. And I don't see that's likely to happen, because power, as somebody once said, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today for that perspective. That's David Thunder, political philosophy researcher and lecturer at the University of Navarra's Institute for Culture and Society in Spain. And if you want to check out some of the work that David has done, indeed the articles he's written, you can go to his website, davidthunder.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.